The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
So, how do they decide if their colors are both red and white, who gets to wear the light and who gets to wear, how do they decide that? Is that a coin toss or a blowjob off?
Something determines the home team and yeah. They'll wear the white, and something determines the visitor team and they wear their colors. And I can't remember what that is. Is it overall scores, Tiff? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I only know that when I have watched the playoffs and someone has won, they're like, and they'll be in as the home team and they'll be in as the visiting team. And I'm like, how did that get determined? Somebody out there knows that is much better at sports ball than me. And apparently, I thought nobody was better at sports ball than Tiffany, but she doesn't know, so we need someone to let us know.
Please.
Yeah, this is what I don't know. But yeah, somebody will get determined to be the visitor, and somebody will get to even though they're both playing in Vegas, which is my team's turf.
I don't know.
They're not playing, though.
I'm still going to be wearing my Ravens gear today. I'm still in mourning, but I'm going to be wearing it. Representing...
I've decided not to wear pants.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yep.
I like that, actually. That works for me.
Well, if the American government is going to script the winner of this game, I might as well be ready for my governmental pounding.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
Usually I don't support the team that's won in the past, because I always like the new team coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But because Swift is pissing off so many people, I'm kind of supporting the team that's won all the time this year.
That's it. It doesn't help. I got a crush on Travis Kelce.
And yeah, Jason.
And not you, Jason.
Oh, I thought you had a crush on Jason, too.
No, I like them as a team. I love their podcast. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
They're hilarious. They just seem like really nice guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And considering what they do for a living, I'm startled by that. And so, I mean, they are in a sport with more violations of
domestic violence
than any other sport. The Chiefs, for Christ's sake, just a couple of years ago, had more players convicted of domestic violence than any other team in the NFL. And then there's fucking Travis Kelce running around telling his brother not to be a dick to his wife.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe tell the other guys on your team, Trav.
Yeah.
You know, Jason just blamed her for not bringing pants. He didn't beat the shit out of her. Go football.
Ray Rice.
No.
Oh, America, you wacky funster. The things that we can overlook for heroes, you know,
it does
surprise me, you know, that I have such a hate on for Mel Gibson, considering I'm an American and I'll forgive just about anything for something that I like. And I do. I like Mel Gibson. I think he's a very entertaining. Until The Continental, he was a very good actor. I don't know if you guys have seen episodes of The Continental, but he's not bringing his A game to this particular show.
No, we haven't.
No, I've not seen The Continental, no.
You know, it's good. It's exciting. It's well choreographed, violence-wise. But, you know, then Mel Gibson pops up and starts talking, and you're like, what are you even doing? Is that Chicago or Brooklyn? Because it's kind of a mix. What is going on here? G'day my ass. Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It is pretty nuts.
With Gibson, I was, up until a certain point in his career, I was every single movie. Yep. I will see his movies. And then we hit that certain point in his career, and we all know what that was.
Sugar Tits. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was like, I'm never going to see a Mel Gibson movie again then. And then a couple of them popped up, and I'm like, yeah, I want to see that one.
Well, I mean, I extol my love for The Fat Man.
Mm-hmm. I love The Fat Man.
It was a wonderful Santa story. Mm-hmm.
Great Christmas movie.
Isn't that your favorite? Is that your favorite?
My favorite? No, it's not my favorite Christmas movie, but it's up there. Okay. It's in the top five. I will watch it. Yeah, quite often. Yeah, I love it because it's so much fun.
Jodie Foster did The Beaver.
Yeah.
Which was this guy who's in the middle of a divorce that suffers a psychological breakdown to where he can only communicate through a stuffed beaver puppet.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And that's Mel Gibson, is the guy with the puppet.
What?
Trying to talk to his family and his kids and heal himself and do all. It's a beautiful movie.
Really?
So layered and yet so funny because Mel Gibson's talking through a fucking beaver, you know.
And so funny.
What is this?
It's called The Beaver.
Oh, The Beaver.
It's called The Beaver. Yeah.
And it's called The Beaver. I think it's one of Mel Gibson's best roles, but it was post Sugar Tits.
I loved him in wasn't he on Bird on a Wire?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Back in the day. Yep.
Back in the day.
That was back when he was just a wacky Australian who smoked too much and had a mom haircut.
I mean, I didn't think I'd see a better Gibson film than Man Without a Face.
That was pretty good.
And then I see The Fat Man and I see The Beaver and I'm like, never mind. There are better movies than Man Without a Face with Mel Gibson. Yeah.
It's just, you're a garbage pile now.
Mm-hmm. I guess I haven't seen many. I saw him in What Women Want.
He was good in that.
Yeah.
That was a fun movie.
Yep.
Yeah. No, he's an incredible actor, but you know, you do what
that startling documentary Braveheart that he did. Yeah.
Freedom!
True historical facts in that one.
Yeah, but one or two.
Yeah.
Let's see. What were the historical facts? The Irish are cocky.
Yep.
And some Scots wear kilts. I'm pretty sure past that, they really didn't give it much historical perspective.
not much at all. And there was a guy named William Wallace, and he fought the British. That's really it. The best. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And did a good job of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Until he didn't.
Yep.
Not his fault. It was the fault of the clingers on to Robert the Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it? Have you seen Braveheart?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, just not historically accurate.
Yeah, really, at all.
No.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah. Rob Roy was far more historical accurate, but was not as entertaining. Even though it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Liam Neeson was in that one.
Oh, okay.
Played Rob Roy. Mm-hmm. And, who was his wife in that? It was What's-Her-Name from King Kong. Jessica Lange?
Yeah, Jessica Lange played the wife.
Jessica Lange doing a Scottish accent?
She was marvelous. She had a great... whoever they worked with for their accent coaching was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you know this or not, but Liam Neeson is not Scottish.
No, he's not.
He's Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Faith in Bagara. I sure could use a Guinness. Because that's my Liam Neeson impression
like
right there.
I've
got a certain set of skills. Get your hands off me, Lucky Charms. There. I've now offended an entire island nation that I love to distraction.
Yes.
Speaking of loving things to distraction.
That was smooth.
Tucker Carlson loves Vladimir Putin. Loves him.
Oh, yes, he does.
Just cannot get enough of that Putin put in. I made a joke and it was all spelled the same. Tucker Carlson has been so pro-Russia that the Kremlin called his former Fox News show essential to Russian media.
Yeah.
So just this last week, dipshit, Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
I mean, in a world full of dipshit, we have to be specific. But dipshit Carlson flew his skinny, white, American, tanned, perennium, all the way to Moscow to, that's a throwback for some of you, to have himself a little chitty chat with his best buddy, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin couldn't have been nicer most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah, so they're chit-chatting, and they get down to near the end of the thing, and then Putin's all like, oh, by the way, 46 minutes into this history lesson, says Ron Filipkowski, and Putin stops to make fun of Tucker Carlson for applying to the CIA when he was younger and getting rejected. Because as we know, Putin, well, he was KGB.
Yes, right.
KGB, KGB.
Former head of KGB.
KGB. Yes. Yeah. You know what Tucker Carlson was? Rejected.
Not that.
And I love that Tucker Carlson came over there to do propaganda for Putin, and Putin's just like, oh, I can't fucking take it anymore.
Well, he made him wait for a long time, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you get this, you know, the classic Tucker Carlson stupid look. What?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
I do. Robert Herr. I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Herr, but if I ever meet him, I'm going to punch him in the face. Robert Herr is a special prosecutor. And mm-hmm. Merrick Garland picked Herr to take a look at what Biden did with the classified documents that they found when, in an abundance of caution, he had his lawyers go through the room. And they found like three folders, probably with cake recipes. We don't know. They're classified. Mm-hmm. And he said, oops. And they're like, "And can we have him back?" And he's like, Biden's like, well, yeah, here you go. I didn't mean to take him. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the opposite of what Trump did with his. That he took case after case after case after case after case with him. And then invited foreign dignitaries over to hang out, spilled all of our nuclear submarine secrets to an Australian who turned around, went on a podcast, and told him back.
Yep.
Yep. So Robert Herr puts this together and basically came up with, though Biden didn't do anything worth prosecuting, but he did so in the most partisan, dipshit, angry, fucking right-wing, Trump-appointed dipshit, special counsel motherfucker way. Mm-hmm. That he probably could. The report is 388 pages, which is a long fucking way to go. Nah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have solved that in one page, Robert.
Could have edited that a little bit.
Yep. Herr notes the FBI picked up all the docs from Biden's house. Mm-hmm. When Biden's lawyers called and said, hey, we found some stuff that probably shouldn't be here. You want to come get it? Which, again, is the opposite of what Trump did.
Complete opposite.
Yeah. Herr goes through all the reasons jurors would find reasonable doubt, aka holes in the case he wishes he could bring, including factors that might make jurors disagree with Herr's assessment of willfully. For instance, there's a lot of evidence these documents might have been long forgotten, as a certain number of them might not have been stored or retained personally by Biden at all.
Right.
Herr also acknowledged that there are other innocent explanations for the documents that we cannot refute. And it all sounds great for Biden, doesn't it? Well, then we get down to the point where he's like, one of the reasons we can't bring this case is because Mr. Biden could be viewed as an elderly gentleman with memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Herr. That's, again, this is, we have to have something cast out on the candidate we don't like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in one of my favorite little Bidens of the week, Peter Ducey pops up with the question, President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you weren't charged is because in his description, you were a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Biden, I am well-meaning. I am an elderly man. And I know what the hell I'm doing. I'm the president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation. Ducey, how bad is your memory, and can you continue as president? Biden, my memory's so bad, I let you speak. So this comes out. Biden throws himself a little press conference to comment on the report, the political hack report. By Robert Herr, and basically just stood there and let people know, I'm not old and decrepit. I'm just old and I got a back problem. You know, the way he walks and you look at him and you go, you know what? He's old. Because you know what? He's old.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking old. He's fucking old. He's literally an octogenarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think he's got more on the ball than I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the president. Then it helps to have a staff. I could use a staff. A staff would be kind of nice. But in the meantime, you know.
You could use a staff.
I need a staff. I need to be babysat all day long.
That is a,
yep,
a big job.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just frustrating. But.
Every time somebody brings up Biden's age, I just keep in mind, the only reason he's running for president again is because the other side won't let go of Trump.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't step down if Trump is going to be, because he was like, yeah, I might just step down, let Kamala take it for the next term, you know, or something. And it was like, nope, not going to happen. Which makes me wonder, will he be the first president to retire?
Maybe.
You know,
he deserves it. He's fucking old.
He wins. He gets sworn in. He says, okay, my first official act is I'm retiring. Kamala Harris is in charge. Bye.
Puts on his aviators, jumps in his Corvette, goes screaming out of D.C. with a smoke trail behind him.
Yeah. Grabs an ice cream cone on his way out.
Yeah, it's licking on an ice cream cone.
Licking an ice cream on the way. I would fucking love that.
Listening to Cream on the stereo system, his 8-track.
Yep.
Yeah. So Mitch McConnell.
Kamala's like, I need to be sworn in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody's out of, see you later, losers. So there's no long way to talk about this. Basically, once upon a time, last November, Republicans said, we're not going to pass any aid for Israel, for the Ukraine, or for Taiwan, unless it's attached to a border deal. So right. A Republican senator, a Democratic senator, and a lady who wears funny clothes all got together in a room with their staffs and they banged out. Yeah, I'm talking about Kyrsten
Sinema.
And
I was just going to say, are you talking about Sinema?
Yep. They pounded out a deal, as it were. And before it even came out, Trump was like, nope, I want this as an election year issue. And suddenly Republicans couldn't run away from this bill fast enough, to the point that the Republican senator who wrote it was doing an interview on a show. And the guy's like, if this bill passes, I will destroy your career, said the radio host to the politician. You know, there's been death threats. There's been other things. This is all before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's out. It's not that long a bill, but it basically fixes a lot of problems with amnesty, throws a little bit more money to border, to ICE, to, you know, ICE, that throws more money into courts. Judges, lawyers, etc. Throws more money into spreading people out more so that they don't just get bogged down in like Texas, California, and Arizona. Like that. Is it a good bill? No, not particularly. Is it a good example of bipartisan compromise? Yeah, I'll give you that. Because it had a bunch of shit in it that Democrats don't like, that I don't like.
Yeah.
I think when you consider that we still have a fucking, look, you know what? Take it down to its base economics. We still have a problem getting food out of the field because they're understaffed.
Yeah.
You know,
our migrant worker program was ended in the 80s, 90s, 90s, I'd say.
Where, yeah, because it was a Reagan plan.
Yeah.
And I think it went 10 years. So it was somewhere in the early 90s, but we've had problems ever since. And so every time you go in and you buy a sack of potatoes and you wonder why the fuck they're so expensive, it's because you got Republicans causing problems, you know, with the goddamn pipeline. Now, is the pipeline bad? Yes. Is the exploitation of migrant workers bad? Fuck, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why we have little things like governmental regulations. There was a business just this week in Utah where all three of the owners were arrested for basically human trafficking. They were bringing in people from Mexico, basically, to have them work on construction. They were given residents to live in by the construction company. And these things were the third world was like, ew, and they were made to pay rent. It was a company store situation. And so they weren't worked enough to have enough money to do anything with, but then they're put into these apartments that they have to pay for, whether they work or not. You know, they're getting hurt. They're getting overworked. You know, they're getting penalized for all of these things that are business decisions and have nothing to do with the guys doing the fucking job. And the government was finally like, yeah, that's enough of that. And all three of them sprang out for bail. And in this goddamn tone, are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mitch McConnell opened his yap and was like, you know,
stuck his little head out.
Okay, there's no sound to make for the spinny wheel of a thinking computer.
I'm gonna come out of my shell now and say something. Yeah.
But he supported the bill. And that is the end of Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell will not serve another term as leader of his caucus. I guarantee it. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
He's done, and it's because Trump's in charge of the GOP. You know, fucking Romney, Lady Romney, whose name I can't remember, that was running the RNC, she changed her name because Trump made fun of her being related to Mitt Romney. She changed her fucking name. And now he's firing her. Now, should he fire her? Yes. Yes. The Republicans have lost the elections of 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to, if they keep going the way they're going, they're probably going to lose in 24 as well. But in the meantime, so does she need to go? Yes. Does she need to go because she's not loyal enough to Trump? No. She changed her fucking name.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that small of a spine. You know, there's no fortitude for this lady. She's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Tangerine. I'll change my name. So with that, we're going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, I've got more headlines.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA, is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content. Every week that we record, we do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com DEFEN Media.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
So for anybody that hasn't noticed yet, we kicked off a fundraiser this week. You can find it over at theleftshow.com. It's right there under the masthead. It basically works out like this. It's Defend Media was put together to do one thing in the beginning, and that was to work for causes and nonprofits to give them boutique advertising, you know, and marketing at a fair cost that they could more easily afford. That's why I started this company. It turned into the world's greatest podcast network, sort of on accident, to be completely honest about it. You know, more like I couldn't think up a different name than Defenestrate Media Podcast Network. And it worked for me. And you know me, I like to bundle. I like to brand things. And so that turned into it. Well, I mean, there is a need out there in the charity and nonprofit world, not only for top shelf marketing like only Defend Media can give you, defendmedia.com. I still do this work, just so you guys know. I still help out candidates and I still help out causes and basically get myself so wildly underpaid that all of my anger and rage is internalized about it. But that's what I do. That's how I live my life. I help other people. At least I try to. And and so we're trying to build a studio where not only can we do our own shows that you have come to know and love, but we can bring in these people for their causes and their nonprofits to start doing their own communications. You know, to teach them how to do that, to whatever, and do that in a way that doesn't cost them a shitload of money. That's the plan. And so that's what I'm asking you guys to do, is go over to theleftshow.com and click on the fundraiser there and throw a couple bucks into the kitty so that we can not only evolve the network into what I think it should be, which is much bigger and a lot less of me. But to go ahead and get back to that core mission of doing work for people that need versus people that can, you know? So if you can, just pop over to theleftshow.com and just know that for the next few weeks while we're trying to raise money for this, I am going to bring it up a lot. It's like I've rediscovered something about myself that I like about myself, and that's rare enough now that I'm just like, you know what? I had a reason to do what I do, and I really need to get back to that reason, and I need to take all of you people with me. So do, buy a piece of this. You know? We'll put your name on the wall. It'll be awesome. You spend enough, I'll put you on the show. You spend enough, I'll be even more than that, I'll put you on all the shows. You know? You spend more than that, I will build you a show. That's all. And in addition to that, we're also looking for full-time sponsors. You know, I don't spend a lot of time chasing ad revenue because it's more fun to just make the shows. But, you know, we're at a point now where we're several years past where I should have been doing this. So just let me have it. Help out if you can. The more money you throw at me, the more I shut up. How's that?
That's true. That's true.
It is true. So the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. had themselves a little bit of a week this week. They attempted to impeach the head of Homeland Security, Mr. Mayorkas, and failed to do that. They failed a procedural vote that would have let them talk about another vote. So basically a vote as to whether or not they could chat about voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They dumped that. And in both of them, everyone else knew there weren't the votes. But Mike Johnson, eternal optimist, who always has both hands to use, boring, you know, or tells his son, never mind. So anyway, he fled after that, after that second vote. He just, he fucking booked, didn't take questions.
He ran out of there.
Yep.
On his cell phone, too, taking an important call.
Yep. The report comes after the House Republicans.
He ran away like Josh Hawley.
He didn't run that fast. The report came after the House Republicans failed in their impeachment of Mayorkas for his immigration policies. You know, his policies, which are technically the laws that you, Congress, write. He's just doing what you guys are telling him to do because that is the scope of his job. So if you don't like what he's doing, make new laws or make a new law and then abandon it because the tangerine tantrum told you to.
Exactly.
Yeah. As well as a loss on a vote to send $17.6 billion to Israel. Jake Sherman of Punchbowl News reported, "I've seen a lot of embarrassing days for different House Republican leadership teams. This one's pretty high on the list. They lost a vote to impeach Mayorkas, then they lost a vote to send money to Israel. They didn't need the vote on the Israel bill today. They knew it would fail. They chose to."
Yeah, why? I don't get it.
Don't know. It's, you know what it is? It is a vast gulf of inexperience from all of these basically freshmen Republicans that have never had to work inside of leadership before. It's one of the reasons why Nancy Pelosi was so good at what she did is she watched for a long time, and then when she had it all figured out, she took over and ran the thing like a well-oiled machine. She would not put legislation on the floor that she wanted to pass that wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
Because, and I cannot stress this enough, she's not a fucking idiot.
Right.
You know what? You probably overpressurized, you little weirdo. Just, I don't know, leak a little. Have a nocturnal emission. Whatever you need to do to get the pressure out of your head, Mike Johnson. It's overcooking in there. It's all squishy.
The problem with these Freedom Caucus idiots is that they, none of them want to actually pass laws, do the job of being in Congress. They just want to scream and yell so that their side keeps winning. And they keep getting more of their idiots into Congress. So they just have chaos. I mean, that's all they care about. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. What fucking law has she written ever? She doesn't. She just screams. Yeah.
I don't have to look. I can just know.
You just know. Ugh.
You know, she popped up. She was almost a story this week about a dozen times. But all of them were, everything I found on her was video. And that's not what we're doing yet. But if you pop over to leftshow.com and help out with their fundraiser, we can do more video.
Yeah. Huh? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Trump, on the other hand, went out in the world and opened his mouth, and out fell the fact that not only would he not protect our NATO allies in the case of Russian invasion, he would encourage Russia to attack said allies. Why, he says? You got to pay your bills, he says.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
Is this you paying your bill to Putin to keep that tape that may or may not exist? You know, suppressed. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Donnie?
You're the pee-pee tape.
Pee-pee tape.
We don't talk about the pee-pee tape.
I don't want to talk about the pee-pee tape.
No, pee-pee tape. Trump, pee-pee tape. Trump, pee-pee tape. I'm just feeding the algorithm. That's all I'm doing right now.
That's right. That's all. Yep.
Yeah, but he delivered an alarming message to U.S. allies during a rally on Saturday, where he outlined a scenario in which he would encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they want to other NATO members. NATO was busted until I came along, he said. I said, everybody's going to pay. They said, well, if we don't pay, are you going to protect us? And I said, absolutely not. They couldn't believe the answer. Don't get me wrong. They should be current. I don't have a problem with that. World War III, because, you know, Germany's late with the rent. I don't think so. You know why? I'm not a landlord. I'm not soulless like that. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, and then again, later in the speech, he says, one of the presidents of a big country stood up and said, well, sir, if we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us? I said, you didn't pay? You're delinquent? He said, yes. Let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills. To which the shoulders of hundreds of thousands of construction workers that have done building on a Trump property shrugged and just went, you got a what now?
What the fuck?
what were you saying you were going to do?
You know, Deutsche Bank's all wonder now what? Mein Gott. Because they're German?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I got there.
You know, Capital One is all like, hey, when we finish kicking these kids out of the orphanage, that's the American Bank. So I'm speaking American Bank. Hey, we got to call that Trump guy and see if he'll take another loan. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
That was an American banker. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as good as my German.
No.
Mein Gott. So Trump. Yeah, I got more Trump. I'm sorry. So Trump went out to another speech. It was a 2-hour speech in Harrisburg.
What does he talk about for 2 fucking hours? Nothing. He can't even make a complete sentence. Yep. I can't even imagine listening to him for 2 hours. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. You know what's worse? Reading it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I it's like you listen to him speak for a few minutes and you're like, Jesus Christ, that didn't make any sense. And then you read it and you're like, Jesus Christ, this guy's fucked up.
Yeah, that is, you know, true.
There is something terribly wrong. It's the best thing in the world to do is to just have somebody read his words on paper or to have one of them read them aloud if you can trick them.
We did a...
It's like getting Mixleplex to say his name backwards.
We did a show at the... A one-man show at the Fringe a few years ago where my friend Larry had written... He'd basically taken Trump's speech to the CIA right after he'd taken office. And rewrote it. All he did was change certain names and historical things to give it to Louis the 14th, who was the unhinged king of, you know, France. And we just had a great time with that because people would come watch it. And they're like, that speech sounded really familiar. And I'm like, yeah, it's Trump's speech. We didn't really, none of the words are really changed. That is how he put it. It's that unhinged.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucked
completely
up.
Completely unhinged. Yeah.
It is fucking weird. Where did we get to? Oh, Pennsylvania. So to quote him, he says, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name. They're going to change the name of Pennsylvania. Trump also mentioned efforts in the U.S. to re-examine naming things through historical figures, such as schools named for George Washington. Quote, that's one even I thought was safe. Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, their names are now in danger, end quote, he said.
No, they're not. Not
Trump's
really.
Claim about Pennsylvania comes roughly 1 month after headlines about the National Park Service proposal to remove a statue of William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, from a park in Pennsylvania. The statue is a small version of one atop City Hall, which is arguably, quote, the highest profile statue, end quote, in Philadelphia, and limited the height of development throughout the city. The Park Service rescinded its proposal following criticism, including from Pennsylvania State Representative Brian Cutler, who claimed that President Joe Biden and his administration were trying to cancel Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Dear Republicans, if you actually looked into who William Penn was, you'd actually be wanting the statue removed because he's the opposite of what you want in this country. He was welcoming. He welcomed everyone. He didn't allow slavery. It was, yeah, when he founded Pittsburgh, well, first Philadelphia and then Pennsylvania itself, it was just his colony was a utopia compared to the fuckwits that were surrounding him.
Yep.
You know, up in the Massachusetts colony, you had the religious idiots. And then south in the Virginia and North Carolina colonies, you had everybody holding slaves. And he was like, we're not having either of those. Everybody's welcome.
I got one weird one for you before we go to break.
Mm-hmm.
After Representative Heather Scott saw a video of people being served human flesh on a television show.
On a television show, yeah.
And with recent reports of human composting, you know, instead of regular burial, she sprang into action this week and introduced her bill to combat the impending threat of cannibalism.
Oh.
Thank God.
Yeah, it seems that what she watched was an old spoof from True TV. It was just a prank. So there's already a law in Idaho about cannibalism.
The only state that has one.
The only state that has a specific law.
It's a problem. It's a big problem up there. they had to have a law. Let's just put it that way. They had to have a law.
Other states have laws about desecration of dead bodies and so on. So apparently it's this bigger problem in Idaho. So Heather Scott, you may remember, said the COVID stay-at-home orders during the coronavirus pandemic were akin to Nazi extermination camps.
Ah.
So, it's pretty clear she's fucked up in the head.
Look, Heather, just because you didn't like being stuck at home with your kids didn't make it a Nazi concentration camp. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you shouldn't erase such shitty kids, Heather.
Exactly.
Jesus, you
Jeez, Heather.
You know, that just throws me back to In Bruges.
Yeah.
You know. I don't care about you or your cunt kids. Don't call my kids cunts.
You should have raised better kids then.
Yeah, and then he calls them cunt kids. It's wonderful. If you haven't seen In Bruges, you should totally see it. It's a glorious movie. Yeah. Anyway, this is going to be normalized at some point, she says, the way our society is going and the direction we're going.
I went from double-stuffed Oreos right into cannibalism.
Yeah.
That's quite a jump.
This Three Musketeers is delicious, but the teens that live upstairs... break out the smoker. Yeah. Yeah. So Scott says she was on an airplane over the summer and watched a clip from a television show displaying a chef feeding human flesh and sausage to contestants, which inspired her to do something about cannibalism. The clip, which she sent to the Idaho Statement, is from a prank show in which they pretended to feed people flesh.
Isn't that so embarrassing, though? That she sent it to somebody? Like, this was real?
Yeah.
Well, she probably still believes it's real.
She does.
She does. She says they didn't tell the people. They just fed it to them.
Did they shoot that? Did they shoot that episode of that show in Idaho there, Heather?
I just, oh my God. You know what?
I forgive her. She was stuck with her kids in a Nazi concentration camp during the pandemic. I'm sure that messed with her brain.
Yeah, I wonder what her number is. Anyway, we'll be right back.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Jesse Jane and Gary Graham.
For totally different reasons.
Oliver Stone eats crow.
Pink crow. I think it was a flamingo.
In moving pictures, Jonathan Frakes got a new directing gig. Vince McMahon resigned from the WWE.
Again.
Dominic Thorne says Ironheart has wrapped filming. In comics, Wonder Woman canonized the twirl.
Whee!
Rob Liefeld is selling Last Blood directly to fans.
No feet.
Kevin Eastman is launching a new title called Drawing Blood. We review Universal Monsters Dracula, Star Trek The Fine Annual, Ghost Machine, and Thrawn. All that and Chad Hammer! Face Fred, True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays wherever podcasts are found and on thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I had a joke. What was it? Hold on. I had one. I had it ready, and it has totally slipped my mind, and the only one that has replaced it is wildly inappropriate. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my gummy kicked in a minute ago.
Yeah, baby.
Perfect timing.
Not really. We still have 20 minutes of this and then 20 minutes of Patreon.
I know.
Yeah.
So how exciting is it going to be?
It's going to get silly. Just think about the keyboard before you touch it, Belle. You idiot. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? That sort of thing.
Stop that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were just talking about TV shows and stuff in the break. For those of you that are paying attention, this is recorded during hour 7 of the pregame show for the Super Bowl. There's still 3 hours until kickoff.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah.
And they're still talking about it. Yeah. They're in there just jabbering away.
I'm excited.
And it's the same guys they've known the whole season. But I don't know. We're going to do a lot of... I don't really watch the pregame stuff.
Yeah, we don't.
Mm-hmm. So is it like the Olympics? They do a lot of bio stuff of the, you know, of the teams. And Travis Kelce was raised in rural Missouri. Like that sort of thing.
Not quite so much that.
The Laura Ingalls Wilder running down the prairie.
But I do love that about the Olympics. I love the Olympics.
I know you do. I've watched you watch them. You know?
Yeah.
Because I love the Olympics because, for the most part, it's sports I can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So for curling. Summer, it's curling in the winter and water polo,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the Summer Olympics. That's why I love the Olympics. But I admit that I do get caught up in the biographies.
Yeah.
You know, the backgrounders. Those are always pretty nice.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
It's good spirit.
So, now that it's the day after.
After the Chiefs won?
Yeah, what do you guys think? What you got a call on this one?
I'm going
Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm going Chiefs is because it'll piss off all the Republicans that Taylor Swift gets another win.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is not why I am picking the Chiefs. I am picking the Chiefs mainly because Charles and Roger love the 49ers so much, and it's fun to crank them up.
Oh, I hate the 49ers.
So that's it. I'm chain yanking. That's most of it. And Travis Kelce, what a hunk. I mean, seriously.
He's on my hall pass.
He's a good-looking fella. He's not on your hall pass.
Okay.
Okay.
He should be, though.
No, we will talk about that in Patreon. Okay. That is not for the general public, that conversation.
And remember, all Patrick Mahomes does is just go to the Super Bowl. That's it.
That's all he does, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He sells sandwiches, goes to the Super Bowl.
And goes to the Super Bowl, yeah. I love how that's worded. Like, he just buys a ticket every year.
Do you guys know how many times the Chiefs been to the Super Bowl in the last 5 years?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like,
let's see, three?
Like a couple, right?
Yeah.
At least three.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say five, probably, in the last 5 years.
They played the Eagles and won, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And they beat the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They played the...
Last year. Weren't they in last year?
They were in last year.
They were?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
No, I don't think they... I don't know. I don't know. Don't ask me. I only pay attention to the Ravens. We were supposed to be...
Well, I'm just saying, if they've
today.
Been in the Super Bowl so many times that we can't remember everybody that they've played lately, you know, maybe, just maybe, the government's not writing a script, sport. Maybe, mm-hmm. just maybe, they're a really good, and I'm saving this one for Taylor, sports ball team. She put a TikTok up mm-hmm. where it was like, what's a phrase or a word or phrase that drives you absolutely nuts? And she pops up on her on the stitch and she's just like, sports ball. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all for you, buddy. Taylor Swift.
According to the Googles, three times in the last 5 years, 2019, they were in against the 49ers and they won. They were in 2020 against the Buccaneers and lost to the Bucks. And then they missed 2021 because that was Rams and Bengals. And then 2022, the Chiefs and the Eagles.
Was that?
Wait, so that's missing last year, though.
Was that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers that won that Super Bowl?
I believe it was.
I just remember the one with the Bengals was like a boring year. So underwhelming that you forgot Super Bowl Sunday was happening until like an hour before the game.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. The Rams and Bengals game, and that was in 2022. So that was the Rams Bengals. And
yeah,
that
Rams Bengals. And halftime came and you left the room and never came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boring.
It was the most uninteresting game ever. And so this year, we're back to it again. But they've been in the last 5 years, they've been in three and won two. So,
yeah,
odds are they'll win again.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm a Chiefs fan, and I've liked the Chiefs since Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. That is the wrong Alex.
The guy who wrote Roots? I like him, too. I didn't know he had a Super Bowl ring.
No, he doesn't. Alex Smith.
How did you get from Haley to Smith?
I don't know. I love Alex Haley. It's my favorite book.
I'm going to die. Okay. I'm all right. I'll be fine. God damn, I hope that's as funny as I'm laughing at it.
It's not.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty silly all of a sudden. Anyway, that's my bitch about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they do the thing where Travis kneels, proposes, they both get the vaccine, and then Joe Biden parachutes in,
then it's rigged.
Then I'm fine with that.
I don't care.
I don't care. That is how I want the halftime show to end.
Yeah.
That's it. And if I don't get it, I'm actually probably going to be upset.
Uh-oh.
But for those that did actually seriously put forth the Joe Biden parachuting in, have you seen this guy? He is below the minimum weight requirement for parachuting.
I know.
You can't parachute something that small. He just, whoop,
just
off
float
he goes.
Away.
He's gone. You know.
It's like when Mr. Burns was asked to hold that batch of balloons. Oh, God.
That's pretty good. Okay. All right. Big serious. Imagine. You wait 72 years to get a job.
Yep.
You want this job. You put up with some seriously weird bullshit, including apparently and allegedly being forced to marry someone you didn't love because they didn't much care for the other one. The good of the family. You've gone through some shit, sir, to get this job. At 72 years old, when your mom dies, the happiest day of your life is also part of the saddest week, we hope.
Yep.
I don't know you people. So there you are. You are the king of fucking England. Oh my God, look at my crown. I'm the king of fucking England. Yes, quite. Very nice.
Yes.
Yes. Quite. You have cancer. Bother.
Yep. Bugger. Yep.
Bugger.
Bugger.
I did not see this article going down this way when I read it.
But what grudge does the universe have on you, Charles? Seriously.
That's a hell of a...
Yeah, anyway.
Hey, but, you know, for what we have always championed because of Forrest, he went in to get a prostate enlargement checked. And they found cancer in other parts of his body. But he was like, I'm concerned about my prostate being a bit larger. Could you please check it?
Yeah. Camilla's getting to it with half a thrust.
Not the way that you usually check it, but an actual medical way that you check it. Please check my prostate. And then, there we are.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I was naughty. The DNC has filed a federal complaint against RFK Jr. No, not because he talks like that. I've had laryngitis. I can make a joke, right?
Yeah.
I'm allowed. Mm-hmm. My dad was Bobby Kennedy. It's cool. You can't even see the little voice box in his neck. Anyway, the DNC has filed a federal complaint alleging that RFK Jr.'s super PAC is working too closely with his campaign. Oh, you think? I think they're in the same office.
I think they're one and the same, basically. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The committee alleges that Super PAC American Values 2024 is working to collect signatures to ensure Kennedy is on the November ballot in key states, but will have to integrate their expenses with the campaign in ways that violate federal election laws. That's because the DNC argues many states, including Arizona, Illinois, Michigan, have rules that candidates or their campaigns be the ones collecting ballot signatures, meaning Kennedy's campaign will have to violate federal rules to meet state rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to take a look at the way we elect shit around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really wouldn't. Is standardization so bad that we could all just get along?
No.
Nope. No, you can't in the European Union. That's why we got the USB-C ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we just can't do it here. Nope. Saturday Night Live star Colin Jost will be hosting this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That's fun.
That is going to be very fun.
I like him.
Yep. Colin Jost knows how to make Saturday nights funny, and I'm thrilled Colin will be live from the nation's capital as the headline entertainer for this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner. Kelly O'Donnell, the White House Correspondents Association president, said and wrote on purpose.
I'm like, somebody's trying to be clever.
I'm just reading that. And I'm like, this is awful.
Yep, that's terrible.
That was pretty bad. No, but I'm looking forward to that. I like that Colin Jost. He's goofy looking guy like him deserves a Scarlett Johansson.
I don't think he's goofy looking.
He really is.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. He looks like a Northern American Matt Gaetz. He's got the too big smile, he's got the overpronounced eyes.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible.
But I still think he's handsome. He's a good looking guy. You know.
But you just said he's weird looking.
No, he looks like a weird dude.
Yeah.
He's not the weird looking dude. He just looks like a dude that looks weird.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know, it'd be like a morphing photo from left to right.
Yeah. The sags under his eyes.
Yeah, this is your life before drugs, this is your life after meth. Like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Colin Jost, ladies and gentlemen, big hand for Colin Jost.
I still think my favorite was Michelle Wolf.
Oh, she was wonderful.
I love that. That was one of mm-hmm. my favorites.
We have watched a lot of her stand-up this
week.
Yeah,
we did.
This is me burning off time because we just got to the last story way fucking early. My fault. Apologies. We just talked about the Super Bowl so long I thought I had to hurry up. But apparently not.
No. Nope.
Me and the clock, we are not in sync with one another today.
You jumped a story about Carol.
I did. About That's Jean what Carol. Happened. All yep. right. Great. So last week, Judge Lewis Kaplan made it official, entering the jury's judgment into record and ordering Donald J. Trump to pay E. Jean Carroll $83.3 million for defaming her and lying about raping her in 1996. After hundreds of public insults, the years of abuse spewed on social media have finally stopped, as it finally occurred to Trump that lies have a cost. Maybe that cost can one day include a custodial sentence.
Only
that
hope.
Would be nice.
Yep. So anyway, the court has told Trump there's no more waiting. There's no more appealing. There's nothing else. Pay the woman, you rapist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You burned through that story pretty quick, too.
And then, again, a whole group of construction workers are like, is that what it's going to take? Get that motherfucker to pay us?
I mean, yeah. So many red flags on this guy. So many ignored red flags. And it really comes down to, for me, it's because Republicans just want to be racist out loud again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's it. Everything else he does is fine because then they can hate people that don't look like them.
Yeah.
Well, you have the two parties. With the Republicans, we saw this during Obama's administration when the Tea Party started taking over the Republicans or try to break free and be its own party aside, apart from the Republicans. The Republicans like, no. We'll do everything you want us to do.
The teabaggers?
We think you're great. Yeah, the teabaggers. So they bring in all the teabaggers, and then Trump was just an inevitable thing from bringing in the teabaggers. But what they're looking at is these dipshits who love this rhetoric that comes from either teabagging or from Trump, they show up to vote.
I'm a 12-year-old. It's going to crack me up every fucking time.
Yeah.
Because they called themselves that. And we gave them, 30 minutes. We're like, do you want to stick with that?
Is that your final answer?
Boston tea bags. Oh, that's different. That one. Yeah. That one involves not taking a shower after a hockey game. I'm not quite sure what a Boston tea bag is, but I know it's going to be unpleasant.
I'm very Irish.
Very much.
No, it was just they embrace these guys because they're like, well, those people show up to vote and that's who we're going to get to vote for us. And they, as Trump said, I love the poorly educated because they're the ones who show up to vote. And I'm like, those who have intelligence often sit out voting because they're like, oh, I don't like either candidate. I mean, fuck, they just did the RNC primaries in Nevada, and Nevada has a thing where it can say no candidate, please, neither candidate, please. And Haley and Trump came in third to no candidate, please.
she came in second to it with 20 some odd percent to 63 of none of the above.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Cause Trump wasn't on the primary ballot. He was on the caucus ballot because of their bullshit system that the RNC broke all of their bylaws to do.
Mm-hmm.
But who even, I mean, just it that anybody takes them seriously anymore is beyond me.
Yeah.
Also beyond me is the inevitable end of this show. We are at the end. So if you guys will do me a favor, or two, join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia, DEFEN media. Every week that we record, we do extra bonus content. We're going to tell stories. It's going to be great. This week. So, if you're a patron, come on over. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be fun.
The other one is, if you want to help us out getting the studio built, please pop over to theleftshow.com. It's hard to miss. It's right there. It's hard to miss. Mm-hmm. And with that, JC, Tiffany, thank you very much for this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, let's...
You're welcome, America.
You are.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.